Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Home day?
Yep, yes it is. All downhill from here. Weekend will be within your grasp before you know it. So, happy Wednesday, everybody. Good morning, 6 a.m. listeners, best of the bunch. When I was at Ameristar Blackhawk, I had a couple of guys come up and say, hey, I'm a 5 a.m. listener. I'm listening to you guys before you come on.
How can you be listening to us before you come
on?
Well,
the station, the fan.
Okay.
We thank you for that. But they're ready to go. They have been up. They've been moving.
All right.
Doing their thing.
Hell yeah!
They're just hitting their stride as 6 a.m. comes along, so... How you doing, Mark Schlereth?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I got flipped off driving yesterday.
What'd you do?
Hell yeah!
Or you did nothing and somebody, was it a rusty?
No. It was like some 17-year-old kid.
Uh-oh.
Brand new car. Mom and dad bought him.
Uh-huh.
That was bad. I picked up my grandkids as I do every day, you know, and we're driving home and... You know, it was one of those things when my granddaughter was kicking my chair and they were fighting. And I was like, hey, turn around, you know. Hey, calm down there.
Right. Don't make me come back there.
Yeah. So, you know, I was kind of, as I turned, I kind of got closer to that kid's lane. Then he sped up by me and flipped me off.
Settle down just a little bit.
There's a real part of me that wanted to get up to a red light and get out of my car.
Yeah, you might not want to do that.
I just wanted to go, you little turd.
Are you much of a... You don't strike me as much of a road rage guy. Are you?
No, I'm not an angry driver.
You're not an angry driver.
No. I'm the guy that passes a cop and I'm like, oh, I hit the brakes and I'm already going 6 miles an hour.
Right.
That's how I drive.
If you're a policeman listening right now, yeah. do you laugh? Do you get a little chuckle when clearly somebody's like bombing through the speed zone and then all of a sudden they try to like. Hit the brakes and you just kind of laugh like, yeah, that'll do it. That'll make a big difference.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just can't stand stupid drivers. I just can't.
No.
I just can't. I'm a bit of a snob as a driver. I just cannot handle dumb drivers. I'm fine.
Oh,
I'm good.
You're really good. Great.
I'm a great driver, but
the
people,
rest of them are
oh
dumb.
My God, I can't stand dumb driving.
Yeah, there are a lot of stupid drivers. I will give you that.
Just a lot
that
of
I will
dumb
give
drivers.
You. I will give you that.
What's wrong with you? If you're a dumb driver,
yeah,
fess up.
Yep.
Why are you so dumb?
What qualifies someone being a dumb driver?
Well, all right. So not paying attention. You can tell they're on their phones. I hate that. They slow down. They're going slower because if you're going to be on your phone... At least maintain speed. You can tell the people that have been on their phone a lot because they tend to slow down, and so that annoys me. I don't know. Just you can just tell dumb drivers.
You know what I hate?
What do you think? What do you think of dumb drivers?
I hate when someone's trying to turn right or turn left, and they think that they can't just turn. They have to swing out before they turn.
Okay, the big swing out. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it's like, dude, you're not in a neighborhood. There's cars in the lane that you're swinging out to. Like, what are you doing? I hate that.
Reckless drivers, the ones that are, you know, swerving through lanes, things like that.
Yeah, that I don't like.
You know, it's just, you can just see them. You just see them out there, the dumb drivers. I can
verify that you're not on your phone while you're driving because you're never on your phone.
I know, I'm bad that way.
You tuck your phone in like the side of your little bag and then it stays there. You stay there for days.
Mike has a jitterbug.
What's a jitterbug?
What's a jitterbug?
You don't know what a jitterbug is?
Uh-uh.
Google jitterbug phone. Jitterbug. Dun, 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 dun.
Really?
Jitterbug phone.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
It pops up. Let's see. Here we go. What is it? Oh, like a flip phone?
Yeah, it's like a phone for senior citizens.
Yeah, no, I don't have a jitterbug phone. What are you talking about, really?
Yeah.
Just because I'm not on my phone while I'm driving doesn't make me old.
It makes me responsible.
Yeah.
He's not on his phone when he's driving or at home or any other.
Tell you what, I'll be cool like you, and I'll be on my phone while I'm driving. How about that? There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
I do spend. I will admit that occasionally I'm on my phone while I'm driving.
Really?
Occasionally I'll answer, you know, but I always voice the text back, like, but yeah, occasionally.
When I'm in my car driving, that is my sanctuary. It's like some of the only time during the day I feel like I have some free time to just
do nothing.
Do nothing. So I'm not going to be checking my phone. Sorry. Well, I had to end sometime. The Avalanche lose last night.
Yeah.
To Montreal. This one they scored the first goal.
Uh huh.
And then gave up the game tying goal like 10 seconds later. But they have their 9-game winning streak nine times they had won in a row. Nine times they have their 9-game winning streak snapped. Is this because after the game, Jared Bednar was not happy. Cale Makar was talking about sometimes we got to simplify things. Andrew Cogliano was talking about how they haven't been that good defensively the last couple of games. So is this any red flags come out of this loss, or is this just, hey, you won 9 in a row? Streak's got to end sometime, no biggie.
Yeah, no, I think it's very much like what we talked about with the Nuggets. What game was that where, well, they won, but they gave a lead back up, and Mike Malone was ticked off about it.
They had a big 34-point lead. Was against Utah, 34-point lead. It got down to like 16 or something.
And he was
throwing a nutty.
Yeah, he was crazy about it. There are those games that are kind of like, here's the little weaknesses that we've been able to overcome. We came back from a 4-point deficit and our four-goal deficit and this, that, and the other. And these are one of those things where they can be a learning curve game. I will say this, man. I don't know how many shots they knocked off the post last night. McKinnon had one off the post. I think Rannan had one off the post. Like, they had some great opportunities that they just, inch off, a game of inches. So, and they got a lot of shots. Well, they got 28 shots on goal last night. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where now I can be mad at all the little things that have crept through these games that we've won 9 straight. Now I can say, I told you so.
Right.
That's just a coaching, quote-unquote, technique, if you will.
So, Avs fans, you can react to that. Dallas stays hot. So the Avs actually fall behind Dallas, who've won 5 in a row. So now Dallas leads the division with 99 points, the Avalanche with 97. So playing the whole every day, if the playoffs were to begin today, who would they be playing? The Avs would be hosting Winnipeg with home ice.
Mm-hmm.
2-3 matchup in the Central in the first round of the playoffs. Coming up next, Sean Payton and George Payton. Are they solid? Solid as a rock?
You going Ashford Simpson on?
That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house. Even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless bill and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Every once in a while, we like to toss out a topic to take the temperature.
Yeah, rack the lead.
Because we're all about accuracy.
Sticklers for accuracy. Sticklers, I tell you.
So, the question I'd like to throw out to get reaction to on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043 for Broncos country, is how do you feel about the idea of Sean Payton trading the next couple of draft classes, top of the drafts, to move aggressively way up to get the quarterback he covets? How do you feel about that?
I'd feel great about it if the guy turns out to be the next Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow. I'd feel great about it. If we had another young, upper echelon, top tier quarterback here, forget them picks.
But you are endorsing the idea of doing it without knowing whether or not that guy's going to work out.
Well, you don't. You never know. I mean, you never know. But if you, if Sean Payton feels as though I've got my guy, I believe my guy, you know, can be my next breeze and can lead us to AFC championship games and maybe a Super Bowl, and at least we're going to be in the conversation. Because when you look at the AFC, man, when you look at, I know Herbert hasn't done anything yet, and I know Lamar doesn't perform in the playoffs, but when you look at the young quarterbacks in this division or in the AFC, you're looking at like Lamar, and you're looking at Herbert, and you're looking at Burrow, and you're looking, you know, at Josh Allen, and you're looking at Patrick Mahomes, and I just put five that are in the top tier of NFL. Just forget about AFC, just NFL quarterbacks. So, I mean, especially in the AFC, to compete, you're going to have a dude that can play.
I'm curious, but to do that, you do so with the understanding that you are going to have a very difficult time. I just heard Greg Penner yesterday talking about how we're going to build through the draft. It's important to build through the draft. You have to be able to do it through the draft.
Okay.
Does that give us a hint right there, a clue that they're not going to do that because of all the draft capital it would take to move up? You're basically forfeiting your next two drafts, at least, to do this.
Correct. But if you're going to build through the draft, I mean, if you're moving up, whatever it is, 11 spots to number two or number four, if you're moving up all the way up there, 8 spots to 4 or 11 spots to... Wait, is that math right? 12 to 2, is that...
That'd be 10 spots.
10 spots. If you're moving up 10 spots, 11 spots, well, no, you got 11 spots, you'd still be at...
If you moved up 11 spots from 12, you'd have the top pick in the draft.
No, you wouldn't, because you'd be 11 is less than number 1. 11 would be number 2.
Oh, boy.
Right? Okay.
So you're going to move up 11 spots from 12. Uh-huh. All right. 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Number 1. If you're moving up 11 spots from 12.
You got to count 12. 12. You're moving from 12.
No, but you go, no. You're already at 12. So now you're moving 11 spots. You're moving from 12. Now you go 11 spots. 11, 10, 9, 8, 1. What are we doing here?
That doesn't make...
What do you mean?
What happened to the 1?
What do you mean the 1? I just gave you 11 spots.
What's 12 minus 1? I mean, 12 minus 11.
1. Wait a minute. You just said, what is 12 minus 11? I said 1, and you went,
It seems like if you move 11...
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
You got to move 12 spots to be at 1.
You're not counting the spot that you're already at.
Why not?
Because you're there. This is
why math confuses me, because...
Like, if you're playing a board game, you're playing... I don't know, and it says you roll the dice and you say move 6 spots. You're moving from the spot you already have, and then you go 1, 2, 3. You're not starting on the one you're already at and go 1 and then go 2, 3.
See, because that's not how. See, I always equate everything to the way you count the years you played. You don't not count when you get drafted in 1989. You don't start counting year 1 at 90. You count in 89. So you go, that's how I got 12 years, because I count that year. I don't discount that year.
No, you're right. Right. It's not like you started your career in 1990 and your first year is 1991. But
right.
For that conversation, you're right. But 12 minus 11 is 1.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Do you?
Yes,
do you?
I do.
Are we sure about
that? Yes, I know
that. Are we sure about that?
It just... felt like you had to move 11 spots to get to number 2. All right, 10 spots to get to number 2. Regardless. Like, you're still building through the draft if you move all the way up 10 spots and draft the guy who's the future of your football
but
team.
What are you left with to build around him?
Well, then you're adding via free agency. So, I mean, that's how that works. So, I mean, you're still going to build, you know, you build your that guy, and then you've got to be right, you know, when you start talking about, you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth round draft picks and seventh round draft pick, you got to be right on all those guys. Every one of those guys got to be a contributor.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, I'm getting a headache. Please stop. Rome from Loveland.
Oh, are you really getting a headache, Rome? Oh, my goodness. Stop it. I'm getting a headache. No, you're not.
Listening to Mark do math makes me feel better about myself.
See, there you go. You're welcome. You are welcome.
Mark's already doing self-help this morning. He's like...
The sad thing is I was really thinking I had that figured out.
I would much rather build the roster with football players. I'd rather trade back this year, suck next year, and not have to give up anything to have a top pick, which is what should have happened last year.
You know, I was talking to somebody about, and this is not a smear on Paxton Lynch.
Because we are done with that.
We're done smearing
Paxton
Lynch.
Now we're just smearing Russ.
But we were talking about quarterbacks. And this is a former coach who was on that staff and said they tried. This is why I don't like Drake May, basically. I don't like his loopy mechanics. He's big. He's physical. He can run around. He's inaccurate. Most of the time, intermediate throws, inaccurate. At least, you know, the few games, the couple, three games I watched, I just didn't like his accuracy. I didn't like any of that stuff. And so I'm having this conversation yesterday, and this particular coach said, you know, we really tried to change mechanically that loopy, long Paxton Lynch delivery, and this is why this is my gut feeling about that Drake May is that you don't change that. Like, under duress, you know what you're always going to fall back into? The way you've thrown your whole life. No matter how much you try to change it, when things are perfect and you're in shorts and a t-shirt and all that kind of stuff, yes, you can do it. But when there's pressure and there's things going on and you're always going to revert back. And they just said there's no way they could get rid of that kind of long, loopy delivery. And because of that, you're always late, so you're always sped up in your mechanics, which creates errant throws. And that's what I see with a young kid. And I could be wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe he fixes it, but I don't love it. I don't love it at all.
Mark's acting like there is a zero draft position.
There is a zero draft position. Like, it's where I would have been drafted if I came out today.
It's like,
I'd have been drafted
like
zero.
Kayla Williams is being drafted zero, you know, and then you go with your math. Finally, I've driven 3 miles listening to this conversation, and I definitely am not any smarter. From Brent.
Then that's true.
Now that is true.
That is true.
That ain't cap.
Yeah.
Morning Brew coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, it had to end at some point. The Avalanche 9-game winning streak does end with a 2-1 loss to Les Habitants, the Montreal Canadiens. Jared Bednar on, what went on in the... Okay, I just had it. Where'd that go?
Oh, my gosh.
Where did that go?
Oh, my gosh.
Johnny! Where'd it go?
You go from 12 to 2.
To all right, I got it. Jared
11
Bednar.
Spots.
Jared Bednar, these type of things happen.
We've had been on a pretty good run here lately. Big emotional game. It's not... I mean, it can happen, right? You just don't have it every single night, but it's still frustrating.
Why does that happen? We say it so casually. We say it so easy. Hey, it's going to happen. But could have happened when you had won 7 in a row, but you went on 1-8 in a row. Could have happened when you had won 8 in a row. Why now? Why does that pop up?
You probably should have known after coming back from a 4-0 deficit to win a game.
Okay.
The energy that is expended in that particular game, you know, and the almost the exhale of doing that. But you score in the first what? Inside the first minute, and then they come right back 10 seconds later. They're still announcing the goal. You know how they're not from so-and-so to so-and-so. Scored by McKinnon, you know.
Woo!
Yeah. And so they're still announcing all the, you know, the 14 assists and
there's only
how
two.
Many ounces of water the goalie had to drink afterwards. They're still making all those announcements.
A lot of ounces.
Right. When Le Habitant come right back and score 10 seconds later off the faceoff. So, you probably could have expected it somewhat of a letdown. Although, like I said, you know, they got a lot of shots on goal. That easily could have been a 4-1 win if those they got good shots. A couple of posts, ding, ding. So anyhow.
Yeah, the Avs were talking after the game about how Montreal very active, blocking a lot of shots as well.
So, blocked 20.
Yeah.
Got down, blocked 20 shots.
So territorially speaking, you know, the Avs controlled the game. But hey, that's hockey. Cale Makar says there are lessons to be learned.
In terms of, I think, adapting to what they're throwing at us, I think for us as a team, we're trying to be too cute at times, and I think simplicity is usually always the answer. That's how you start generating opportunities, especially from the defensive end and then offensive end. I mean, they block a lot of shots, but at the end of the day, we got to find a way to get around that, whether it's shooting wide or whatnot. So I think for us, it's a lesson we have to be able to simplify.
Well, it only becomes an issue if it becomes a pattern. And we'll give this team, which has been playing so well since the trade deadline, give them the benefit of the doubt that they'll bounce back. And if they don't, well, then we can start talking about it. But there's a reason why winning streaks don't go on forever. And typically when they end, they end in games that look like last night.
By the way, I love his answer about usually the answer is simplicity.
What do you call it? Small up, simple down?
Small up, simple down. It's always been a theory of mine is do what we do because we've executed it so many times. That's why identity is so important. Let's just do what we do. Forget about them. Let's make this about us. And I love that answer about just, hey, simple it down, man.
Next on the Morning Brew, Sean Payton. Maybe you find this answer a bit surprising on moving on from Jerry Jeudy.
I'm excited for him and his opportunity. He and I think, had a pretty close relationship. Obviously, he was able to get a new contract. And so, you know, as coaches, you want to see that for your players.
Okay, let's play a game of what did he say and what does he mean? Because he, throughout the season, he was always sort of, I never really got the sense that he was coming down hard on Jeudy. Mm-hmm. Nice words right there.
Sure.
So does he really like Jerry Jeudy? And if so,
if he really like Jerry,
why'd they trade him?
If he really liked Jerry Jeudy would be here. Said the same thing about, you know, like George Payton about Russ. Worked hard, did all the, you know. Listen, Jerry Jeudy is an exceptional talent. Exceptional talent. He's not here. Why?
Why is he not here? Why is he not here?
You gave away an exceptional talent for a fifth and sixth rounder.
Why is he not here? I would argue that the contract he got from Cleveland might be where I would start. That if he was going to be in line to command that kind of money, then that, I think, is probably the biggest reason to move on from him.
But you would certainly, if the guy is a superstar player, you certainly would pay that superstar.
True.
Although that the new details of that contract, you know where it said $41 million is guaranteed?
Mm-hmm.
The new details of that contract, now it's more like $28 million is totally guaranteed.
Poor guy.
But still, I mean, if he was all that, why would you let him go for a fifth and sixth rounder? Because, again, it's culture. It's building, you know, a football team. It's building through football players. And obviously, that was a guy that they felt like they could move on from.
Next on the Morning Brew, George Payton, fresh off his evaluation of Russell Wilson. How best to evaluate these QBs coming out of college?
Yeah, I mean, you can evaluate the talent. You can evaluate the arm strength, the feet, the athletic ability, the mobility, by second chances, off schedule, all that stuff you see on tape. It's the ability to process, you know, which we've talked about. You know, process a lot of information in a short time and make the best decisions. That's the thing we're all searching for.
Boy, if you need any more evidence that George is clearly working for Sean, not only is he reading right from the Sean playbook, he even did the finger snap.
Yeah.
Just like Sean did
at the
combine, remember?
Yeah.
Sean's like, I want quarterbacks that react like this, not...
Yeah.
And now George is doing the finger snapping.
Right. Well, George, I mean, you know what? You can learn from your mistakes. Processing, you know, he talked about arm strength and arm talent and athleticism and foot, you know, foot movement and all that kind of stuff. But now it comes down to processing. And, you know, the last guy that you gave a big contract to didn't process well enough. You've learned.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Up next, as we get set for the Rockies to start their season tomorrow, what are the baseball experts at ESPN saying about their chances this season? And Philip Lindsay, yesterday on The Drive, a little buff-on-buff crime,
ooh,
as we'll explain, and you'll hear next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Safe to say, Mark, and I'll ask this question to the Rockies fans out there, because I know there are some diehard Rocky fans out there who are just dying a little bit inside every single day that this team continues to be so shockingly irrelevant. But in all the years that you've been here, and I know you've been a Rockies fan since day one, have you ever had less anticipation for the start of a season?
No, never. And it has waned over the last few years, but this is as low. I think this is as low as it's ever been. You know, I started thinking about how many guys could I name off this team, really. Tovar, obviously, they just gave the new contract to. Freeland, who'll be the starter.
Charlie.
Chuck Nasty.
Chris Bryant for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, Chris Bryant. Doyle.
Nolan
Mostly
Jones.
Just because O'Doyle rules. Nolan Jones.
Yeah.
Which.
Then you got to start to dig a little bit.
Yeah. And the fact that you look at anybody, like any person who follows the game, any analyst, anybody who really follows the game, like,
well,
100 plus losses is like everybody's like, oh, yeah, they'll lose 100.
Yes. Coming off 100 loss season, the expectation is they'll lose 100 or more again. ESPN did their preseason power rankings. Where do you think the Rockies check in out of 30?
Out of 30, probably 29.
Boom, you nailed it.
Yeah.
And, wow, Jorge Castillo, who writes at ESPN and put together some of these rankings, had this to say about the Rockies. Tell me if you've heard somebody sitting right across from you ever say some of these things. He writes, what has changed most since we last saw them? Nothing has changed. They didn't attempt to fix the worst offense in baseball. They did little to improve their pitching. Another last place finish is on deck for the franchise that paid another team to take Nolan Arenado before signing the baseball player formerly known as Chris Bryant. Then this key line, why change when you're consistently in the top half of attendance anyway? The formula makes money. Boom.
There it is.
It's what we've been preaching for years. Why change?
The formula makes money.
Surround yourself with yes men and people that are loyal to you and that you probably genuinely like. Do nothing to change the formula. Do nothing to just shake things up, try something different, outside the box. Nope. status quo over there at Stampat and Blake because the formula makes money. As long as the ballpark is the star, as long as people keep coming out to enjoy a beautiful night in Colorado, no real incentive to change. So there you go.
Yeah, why would you?
Your Colorado Rockies, everybody. Get ready for another exciting season of baseball. Still don't know how you're going to watch them, although I think I know where this is heading.
Oh, yeah.
I think what this is going to be is that MLB is going to be producing these broadcasts. Mm-hmm. We're going to still have Drew and crew, which is awesome. But in order to watch them, you're going to have to get the MLB package, which will allow you to watch all the games in baseball. But the Rockies games as well, and they will not be blacked out. That'd be my guess. So, you know, if you want to pay about, what is it for the season to watch? What's the MLB package for the year? About $100, I guess?
Got to be about $100.
About $100.
Yeah, like the NFL package is $100.
Yeah, so let's say about $100. Which, you know, I'm kind of loath to the idea of these things being pay-per-view, but in this case, if that is the number, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, I mean,
6 months of baseball.
Right.
A lot of games. Should be able to get your money's worth.
Yeah, no, if you're going to be...
Plus, you can see the other teams, too.
If you're going to tune in to, say, let's say you tune in to 100 games... I mean, if you're a big Rockies fan, you tune into 100 games. Plus, you've got all the other games you can tune into. If you're a big baseball fan, yeah, I can see where that makes sense.
Yesterday, the Drive, I was listening to Drive, Zach and Phil, and they were reacting to something Shador Sanders said. Shador Sanders talking about high school football in Texas, and well, I'll let you listen to it.
I came from a private school, so. At the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds, like, in different ways.
Really? Shador?
Yeah, you go to a small school?
Private school.
Yeah, it's still small. It's still small. They're not like, they're not factories of producing, are they?
You really think growing up the son of Deion Sanders that you came from the mud?
No, I'm not saying that you came from the mud. I mean, obviously you had, you know.
Stop the cap.
But you came from a small private school. Now there are those small private schools like Valor that. You know,
right?
Produce,
right?
So, and recruit and get a lot of talent, but you don't have that same hype that some of those 6A programs in Texas. Man, they put 45,000 people in the stands.
I lived down there for 2 years. I covered the Dallas High School game of the week every week. It was nuts,
right? Well, nuts. So but anyway, he's not lying. He's not lying. And plus, then you went to. Wherever you went to, what was the school they all came from?
Jackson State.
Yeah, Jackson State. I mean, it's not like a road less traveled.
All right. Well, then you probably might disagree with what Philip Lindsay had to say about it.
You're talking about a private school. You're talking about having these hard times, and it's like, come on, dude. Like, not everything always has to be a sad, heartfelt story, especially when it's not true. What hard times have you truly became and had to come from? Like, I know everybody goes through their times. Believe me, rich, poor, everybody has an issue going on.
For sure.
But you're trying to, like, build us up to say, like, you just work so much harder than the next person. When you had a father that had a lot of money and you have the chains, the grills, all the shoes you want. You've never had to miss a meal. You never had to worry about the lights being cut off. But yet, you're going through some tough times. That's what pisses me off. Because there's a lot of players, a lot of my teammates, a lot of people like myself that went through things like that. And then you're sitting here talking about poor you? That's where I get unsettled.
Maybe from strictly a football competition standpoint,
sure.
Shador's got a point, but yeah, the whole I've had to overcome the odds at every turn dialogue is a bit eye-rolling.
Okay, let me ask you this. What do you think is easier to stay motivated through? Like, if you're a kid that comes from, you're a kid that has real struggles, like family doesn't have money, like, what's easy, what's more motivating for you, to get out of that? Or a kid that does have everything, that has been given everything, and is still busting his ass to be great? Like, I just don't look at it like, I didn't hear that soundbite and heard, oh, woe is me, I'm a victim. I heard that soundbite and said, hey, man, I came from a small private school. I went to Jackson State. It's a different road, you know, and I've been able to make it to this point. Now, I get that he's been privileged. I understand all that stuff. But it still doesn't mean you haven't put in the work. And I don't hear him playing the victim there.
No, he's not playing the victim, but I think he's conveniently overlooking the fact, though, that he's in a really, really advantageous situation because of what his dad does for him and has been doing for him for a long time.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think he's trying very hard, despite taking advantage of what his dad is and does. I think he's still trying to convince people that, hey, you know, take me on my own merits. Don't just look at me as the son of Dion. But yet, he also acts in a way in which he, you know, is very comfortable with the idea that Dion is his dad and Dion's controlling things and coaching him. I don't see Shador coming out and saying, hey, listen, my dad is saying that I'm only going to play for a certain few teams, otherwise I'll pull an Eli. I'm my own man. I can do my own things. He's not coming out and saying that, is he?
No, but I don't know what the question was. I just heard the soundbite, and the sound, like, you can infer whatever you want to infer that you think he's talking about, but I'm just strictly saying what I hear him talking about, saying, hey man, I came from a small private school. I went to a Southwestern Conference school. That's not the road normally traveled. Yeah, did I have benefits? Absolutely, I had benefits. I tell you what, I'll go Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith's dad, he's the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That dude has busted his ass his whole life. I have a ton of respect for a guy who comes from a billionaire family that says, no thanks, Dad, I don't want your money. I'm going to go in my own direction. Like, Shador Sanders is going to be fine whether he plays in the NFL or not. Whether he'll be fine because he's Dion's son. And yet, at least he's still grinding and trying to become, you know, a great, you know, college football player. And he has become a great college football player, but, you know, going on to a professional career. So I just don't hear the same thing.
Four down territory coming up next.